Okay, so the first speaker is Dino. Following Dino is Robert Graham. If folks would like to add their name to the list, I have it up here. And you have 2 minutes. No, I won't. Let me know when you're ready, Dino.
You don't have to count extensions.
Okay. Yeah, go ahead.
One of the most important times on the radio, morning and evening drive times, evening drive times,
up to May 1st of 2005, KPFT had Democracy Now! At 7 a.m., and I'm afraid that was all we had in morning drive time. We had BBC, but I'll get to that later. And in a drive home, we had Free Speech Radio News starting at 5 p.m. At 6 p.m., we had the rotating programs of Counterspin, Making Contact, TUC Radio, Women's International News Gathering Service, and Alternative Radio with David Barsamian. Those five programs, along with Free Speech Radio News, in our drive-home slots was quite effective, I believe. As of May 1st, Dwayne Bradley made a decision to take seven, and either cancel them or move them into ineffectual time slots. This was a unilateral decision, I believe. Otis McClay was our program director, who was, I believe, fired or, you know, forced to resign and take this other position because he would not make these changes. When he was replaced with Ernesto, Dwayne immediately made these changes as of May 1st, 2005. We are now left with the following programs in our prime commuter drive times. The morning, the only thing that's on is, besides music, is the BBC, which I would suggest is not quality progressive news programming. Of course, the other Pacifica stations don't think so either because it's not even on. In our drive home time, all we have is KPFT local news. I believe that this is wrong, and I'm calling for those programs to be reinstated. That's why we have this banner here, that Pacific Commission really does matter. If Dwayne won't make these changes, I call for his replacement. Thank you very much. I left a flyer to that effect on your desk.
Thank you, Dino. Robert Graham, and following him, Ken Freeland.
Last night, Teresa Allen stated that the matter of the Ken Freeland suspension from the KPFT LSB is not tearing apart the board, it's tearing apart the minority of the board. We find it very telling that none of you found this candid admission of hers worthy of critical response. Anyone with ears to hear could discern in Teresa Allen's words the haughty voice of the tyranny of the majority, that smug, self-absorbed attitude that only board majority members are worthy of consideration and count as the board. Any intelligent listener to her comment would conclude that the avowed purpose of Ken's illegal suspension has, by her admission, been precisely aimed at the intimidation of the voices of the dissenting minority. Such tactics are not novel. After all, the United States has essentially been using the same approach for decades in perpetrating criminal wars against minority dissenting nations from Panama to Yugoslavia to Iraq, thereby warning the rest of the non-compliant world that what the U.S. and her allies says goes, and they had better get with the program. Ken Freeland was elected as a KPFT listener delegate in the first round of voting. Since ascending to the board, he has served with distinction on 5 local committees and 1 national committee, chairing a subcommittee of the latter and a committee of the former. His behavior at the local station board has not only been blameless, it has been exemplary. Despite his record, he has been suspended without cause from his fiduciary responsibilities by a board majority consisting of several individuals who rarely show up for LSB meetings, much less serve on even a single committee. He has been demonized repeatedly by the running dogs of this board majority who find his presence inconvenient to their purposes. Yet none of this concerns you enough to use the antidote provided for by the National Board of our bylaws, the power to override any LSB decision at odds with the mission.
Time. Okay. Thank you, Robert. Next is Ken Freeland, and then Sally, who will be speaking for someone who has laryngitis or a throat problem. Ken?
None of this concerns you enough to use the antidote provided to the National Board by our bylaws, the power to override any LSB decision at odds with the mission of our foundation. Instead, after treating my several appeals over the course of the last 2 months with a deafening silence, you've sent the matter to the one committee that has already demonstrated its incapacity to effectively deal with this question. And to add insult to injury, you first added to that committee Deb Shafto, who, like Teresa Allen, is among the chief perpetrators of this local injustice against me, and my legal challenge to whose election to this board you've not so much as acknowledged. In the peace movement, we often say that silence is the voice of complicity. Through the National Board's intransigence on this important question, the dysfunctionality of the KPFT-LSV has now been carved in stone, and the illicit weapon of internal suspension of political opponents, without even the need to state a cause, has been added to the arsenal of every LSV majority unprincipled enough to deploy it. You've demonstrated to those of us who trusted in you to intervene in this travesty while your action could still make a difference that our trust was misplaced. Yet the corruption so evident in the LSV KPFT is system-wide. Indeed, why shouldn't it be? Some of the same perpetrators of this violent, illicit KPFT-LSV action also sit on this national board. The result that I predict is that the composition of the KPFT-LSV will become even more white and even more middle class than it already is, if that could be imagined, and diversity of voices will be permanently banished. Through your refusal to intervene in a timely way, this network, with its vaunted tradition of free speech, has now become the very stamp of censorship, and your refusal to protect my right to be present, to represent my constituency, has made a sad joke out of the idea of democratic governance, which has failed. As some of you know, I've invested a lot of time and effort in that project, and I do not shrink from the obvious conclusions. The PNB, the Archimedean point on which the assurance of legal process rests, has now sounded the death knell of Pacifica as an alternative institution and will continue to alienate its most progressive members, just as Dwayne Bradley's stripping of KPFT's primetime alternative news programming advertised the loss of our station as a beacon of alternative world news information. I request that these comments and my pertinent comments be entered into the record of this meeting.
May they?
So moved.
Second.
Do we have to go to a vote on this?
Yeah.
A formal vote?
Okay.
Can we accept them without objection? Okay.
Thank you.
Can you please give them to the secretary? Next, we have Sally, who is speaking for another individual. For Olga? Is that?
For Yolanda.
For Yolanda. Okay. So Sally's speaking for Yolanda, and then she will be speaking for herself, just so the board is clear.
Okay, yes. My name is Sally Hercinas, and I'm here to speak for my friend Yolanda Birdwell, who has a sore throat, and she asked me to deliver this statement to you. Effective immediately, I submit my resignation as a member of the LSB Houston and committees I served. I want my name removed from any association with this present board. I am joining Ana Nunez, Dr. Bob Bazenko, and many others who have left Pacifica and do not want to look back because they realized, as I have now, that Pacifica is for the special interest of the liberal and gatekeepers to maintain the power and liberal agendas. Dr. Gutierrez stated, and he is so right, those in power are going to fight to keep power and privileges they have enjoyed. He is right. The obstruction of the bylaws, racism, and requesting funds without delivering what Pacifica promised is not only illegal, but it is also immoral, and I do not want to be part of these deceptive practices. I am the only Latina representative on the board, and since my voice has been ignored, I feel that I was deceived on what Pacifica states it is and is not. I submit a bill to you for $1,000 each month I served the LSB, and in return for which services were not rendered to the community. That's the end of Yolanda's statement, and I would like these to be a part of the minutes, please.
So moved.
Third, second?
Second.
So moved and seconded. Can we submit them without objection? Okay. Thank you.
Okay, and I just have a very brief statement for myself.
Okay.
I am a former believer in and substantial contributor to KPFT, but in light of recent programming changes, I can no longer, in good conscience, continue to support the station. And I would like to say that I am not the only person who's doing this. I have a very dear friend who contributed a minimum of $2,000 every year, who he no longer feels that he can support the station. That's it.
Okay, thank you, Sally.
Sure.
Next, we have Michael Woodson and then Abati Do.
This is a very, very difficult time for me. I that was a really good friend of mine, and I didn't know she was going to resign. So, anyway, I don't think I can do this. Thank you.
If you'd like, we can come back to it. Okay.
I wanted to shame the board, really, because Ken Freeland was grieved. And you pass it on, you know, to the governance, which indicates that you think something is wrong. You at least need to reinstate Ken Freeland. You understand that? If you think something's up, you can't continue the punishment. Don't you understand that? And regarding the changes, you can see it. We now have four POCs, you know, and I'm not so much on POC, but POC plus class, you know. But you understand, the only Latino we had is gone now. You know, welcome to Houston Pacifica. You know, listen to the station. I listen to KPFT and KPFK simultaneously. You know, because I have to. I don't know if you understand what that means. I have to listen to both because I can't listen to one. And Bradley made changes unilaterally, and he's proved to be a liar on the changes of the flashpoints issue, and you know it. He lied, and you're his employer. Ultimately, you know, it's bad down here, bad in Houston, Plantation Station, and from a white man, I don't know how you take that, but you know, I got to live my context. So I'm you know, but I put 3.5 years into this, and I hope you can see I take it seriously. I try to be ideological. And I don't think I have a race in the horse. You know, I don't have a pony in the race. So, it's important to me. I really like Pacifica. I think I found a home and really great people with Pacifica. And I got to say, what's happening in Houston is disturbing me greatly.
Time. Thank you, Michael. Abati, and then Scotty.
My name is Emmett Abati Doe. I'm a radio and print journalist for over 30 years, former news and public affairs director at Texas Southern University's KTSU, a former chair elected twice as the Anti-Racism and Diversity Committee at KPFT. And sometimes I'm also a programmer. And it seems to me that over the years, I have requested an opportunity to have a show, and I have been systematically targeted, been plotted against by a gentleman who was supposed to be an impartial election supervisor, Dennis Fetters, along with Cliff Smith, who was a programmer, plotting to get rid of me at the station. I've been slandered. On the air, accused of being a homophobic, accused of being anti-feminine by one of your board members' husbands. I have requested an opportunity to do further service to the station in terms of my programming. I have brought innovative programming to the station, the Atlanta Child Murders series, also introduced the African Hebrew Israelites. Also trying to arrange an interview with the people who are running for Liberian's presidency. And I've been unable to get station IDs or press pass because I'm not judged by a person half my age as being competent to be issued a press pass. What I think is going on at this station is that the station is being driven to the ground so that special interests can fund the station and dictate who's on the air and what programs are.
Time. Thank you, Abati. Scotty, and then Masood.
Good I'm Scotty McClymans. I produce and host a disability radio show here at KPFT called Access This. And I am here now to talk to mostly the board members from the other stations, because I'm particularly interested in, of course, the access issues that people with disabilities and a wide variety of disabilities have in your stations. And what I'm in contact with quite a few different people in those stations, and have become aware that there are quite a few problems, as you may or may not be aware of, within those buildings and facilities. And what I would like you all to do, if you would, is I would like you, each of you, since there's four of you from each station here, I believe, if you would go back when you have your meetings with the rest of your board and identify those problems. And perhaps you can help be an emissary, if you will, for people with disabilities that are working within your stations now, or for the people who are unable to access those stations. Because what that does, in essence, is what you're doing is you're denying an entire community of people from being able to participate in these radio stations, who maybe could bring something that you're all seeking, which is diversity into the station, but perhaps of a type of diversity that's outside of the box that you're thinking of now. It goes beyond race here, because people like me are every race, every gender, we're everything. You know, we're all part of you in every way. We're your mothers, fathers, sons, daughters, grandfathers. We are your part of you in so many ways. So why don't you work a little harder, if you can, to let us in, find ways to let us in, because there are ways to do it. People like me can help build things. We can build ramps. We can do lots of things. So my plea is, help us out. Find some ways to get diversity into those stations for people with disabilities, the blind, the deaf, and the mobility disabled. Thank you.
Thank you. Masood, and then Ted.
Well, I want to welcome you, but this is not part of my 2 minutes. It's just, he's going to have to welcome all of you. I hope you had a good time last night. Thanks to Stacy. We had a good dinner. And tonight, I understand the staff are putting a gathering for you, all of you, so we can talk more, and we're going to have a good time. And also, we have started a tradition at the LSB meeting that we recognize people that do a lot of good work. I want to recognize Otis for all of his work he does in different events. Not a time start. Yeah. I wanted to talk about the very quick point. I really enjoyed Eva's intervention yesterday, and I'm kind of disappointed. It was 9 months ago we talked about this, and it already seems to me we had to move on. I think we need to do with the changes in Latin America, this is very important for Pacifica to have the PSN, the Pacifica Spanish News, and also I know for sure it's going to help KPFD tremendously with the membership. It's going to raise our membership. It's very important. But one thing I'm understanding, you know, there's a lot of questions, the budget and who's going to take care of it, all of this. I think 19 of you cannot jump on this question altogether. It's going to take time to adjust everything. I think you should pick 4 people to go from the budget, how we get it, how much it costs, and do it. Because as I understand, then as Eva last night was telling me, we have everything ready. Everything is already, we are doing it, but we can do it in national, and I think KPFT can be very good help in getting the reports and the news and add to the whatever we have. This is one part that I hope by next meeting it won't be a question of are we doing it or not. We're going to pretty soon work on it. The second question is about the case of Ken Freeland. Oh, Jesus. Okay, it is important, and also we have time for public. It's very important you listen to everything. I respect him as a peace activist. He's really good, and his obsession with Robert Rules sometimes it causes problem. But I want you as a PMB members, we have to find the roots of this problem that exists in every station. Your job is not to become a court. Your job is immediately, I'm against expulsion in general. As you say, it's a matter of principle. We are under attack already from other people in Washington. We are in the minority ourselves. So we have to be very careful how we treat each other. But
Thank you. Ted, then Evelyn, then Melinda.
I hope you'll give me that same liberty. I was the person who arranged this free room for the weekend. I was the person who arranged the food for lunch today and the ice cream that you're not allowed to bring into this room. Okay. And I'm taking the liberty. I do want to make a very strong political statement about all of this. And that is something I have said numerous times before to the National Board. It is that you need to let us know when we are going to be having meetings down the road. We need to know by the time this meeting ends this weekend when the next National Board meeting will be here in Houston.
January 2007.
So that we can provide, we can find free housing, free transportation, and free facilities and reduced prices on foods. This $25,000 for National Board meetings has to stop. Okay, now you can go to my time for...
Thank you, Ted.
Well, wait. That was not about...
No. I said thank you for arranging everything that you did today.
The issue that Wendy Schrill attempted to bring before this body last night was the suspension of Ken Freeland. Almost all of you, I assume, are in the dark regarding how this matter first manifested itself. Ken, until his suspension, was a member of the Management Selection and Review Committee of KPFT. This committee, in fulfilling its mandate, did an annual review of the general manager of KPFT, Dwayne Bradley, and its former PD, Otis McClay. The committee had many serious concerns regarding the direction that KPFT was going, especially with regard to programming. It did an annual review that was released by Dwayne to the public. They made many recommendations for changes. Dwayne's response to these recommendations was a way that the committee considered unsatisfactory. Dwayne then developed another report and brought it back to the committee in a meeting that was open to non-committee members. Ken Freeland, after hearing Dwayne's response, called for steps to be taken that might lead to Dwayne's termination. A second was requested. I point out that in committees of 12 people or less, seconds are not required. At that point, the chair of the Management Selection Committee, Mike Martin, who yielded chairmanship to LSB member Al Delaney in order to participate in one of your national conference calls, stormed into the room. He heard what the motion called for and immediately demanded that Ken Freeland leave my building. The meeting took place in a conference room at Mike's law office. Mike then demanded that everyone leave without the opportunity to adjourn. We all left. Shortly thereafter, we were told that Mike was resigning from both the LSB and the PNB for health reasons. His expulsion of Ken and the rest of the committee have never been addressed. I think that behavior on the part of Mike Martin was shameful. That he would assert his power as landlord during a properly called meeting is one dark chapter in the recent history of KPFT. I have extended remarks. I would like to give them to the secretary and to all of you for your perusal.
Okay. Thank you, Ted.
Is that approved and all that?
You can enter into the record.
You want it entered into the record?
Please. So moved.
Any objection?
No.
Okay. Thank you, Ted. We have Evelyn and then Melinda.
First, I'd just like to say thank you all for being here and welcome to Houston. I am Dr. Evelyn Bethune, and I am a member of Houston's LSB. And some days I'm not very proud of that because of the manner in which we behave. We have not learned to respect each other. And until we do that, we're not going to be able to conduct the business of Pacifica. Everything, however, at KPFT is not bad. There are many very positive and wonderful things that this station does. And to listen to the diatribe that you hear you would think that there is nothing positive that occurs here. And that is so very far from the truth. The document that Ted has given you is his opinion. It is his perception. And it does not contain all the facts. So if you're going to act on it, at least have the courtesy of asking others who were involved what their perceptions are. Because I was a part of the vote to suspend Ken Freeland. I voted that way because of his behavior in our meetings. It's insulting. And it's time wasting. We'd never get through an agenda, ever. We have a program council that's new. We have not even had the opportunity to do what we're being asked to do. And we're trying to do it in a manner that is inclusive of our listeners, our management, the LSB, and people who may not even listen to KPFT. Because what we hope to do is bring diversity to a station that is in sad need of learning how to treat minorities. When we have minority training, diversity training, the main people on our LSB who need to be there don't attend. Yet they make statements that they don't even know a racist. We have a lot of work to do. KPFT is known as the plantation for a good reason. It's not because people intend to be, it's that they are and don't even know it. You have to get training. You have to be aware. And you have to learn to listen. We don't know how to do that yet. We also don't know how to be polite, how to be caring, and how to respect the people that we sit at the table with. My hope is that we will learn to do that. Time. Thank you.
Thank you, Evelyn. Melinda, and then Jane Jackson.
What I'd like to say is I'm very proud to follow a fine lady like that, because I think she made some really interesting comments, and I concur. It should be noted that we lost recently a very important member of our committee, a gentleman by the name of George Tenet. I was very pleased when he won the election. He is a young African-American attorney, and he walked out in disgust and told us that the reason that he did was because a certain person on the board who basically, I'm not going to mention names because I think that that's wrong, but he said that this individual had taken over too many of our meetings, and frankly, as an attorney, he had no time for this nonsense. And I agreed with this man, and I'm sorry to see him go, because I think he added a great deal to our mix. And I worked very hard to try, as the elections chair, to try to keep him. He almost quit early because he had been convinced that he was not welcome. And I made him understand otherwise, because the man was a valued person, and I still miss him. I think it should be noted that under our current chair and under our previous chair, Mike Martin, who I also miss dearly, they've worked very hard, because we're trying to get past this notion that we are put on the board to be a bunch of parliamentarians. We are there to serve Pacifica, period. End of story. That's it. And I must say that while maybe some people may be backing off, I'm proud to say that I have an employee match, and I'm going to double my money that's going into KPFT, because frankly, I believe in KPFT. I'm not happy with all the programming changes. We're going to work on it.
Thank you, Melinda.
All right, Melinda.
Thank you, Ted. I'm Jane Jackson. I'm an original Pacifica listener. I was elected to the first elected local station board thanks to the listeners. I'm not, and I'm a free agent, and can get back to doing what it was I've been doing from day one, which is to have Pacifica welcome all. Scotty McClymans has just shared with you very eloquently how we don't include all. And Ambrose has just given me a document telling me that some movement is coming forward to deal with facilities. Please, folks, we're a radio station. I contribute to this network, because I listen, and I really, truly resent events being advertised on my airways that I cannot participate in, nor can Scotty, nor could any of you if you were in our position. And in fact, last night, sitting outside enjoying wonderful food, what did I hear? A CD, a replay of a program of flashpoints from KPFA, I think, advertising an event at a facility I know is not accessible. And it was announced that it was. And so my question to you is, how are you going to solve the on-air discrimination, because we are a radio station and there are more things to be concerned about than the 5, 7, however many words it is the government doesn't like. There are other words not on there, and I'll say one of them, and that's nigger. And we don't use that word. But we don't seem to have any problem announcing events that all cannot attend. And I ask you, please, to solve the problem before I have to.
Time.
Thank you.
Thank you, James. Mark Fernandez, and then last we have Burnett, and then that'll exhaust our time for public comment. Mark? No? Okay, Burnett?
Hi, I did not come here to talk about Ken Freeland, although I do think that Ken has been doing a valiant and wonderful job at representing my interests at KPFT. But I don't think he's the issue or the problem. I think his he's received has been disgraceful. My name is Bernard Oliveras. I'm an occasional listener and contributor to KPFT, and I have been since the very first day it went on the air. I come there because I want news and information that I can't get anywhere else. Houston doesn't even have an Air America station. And why do I not listen when I quit listening? Because sometimes KPFT gets totally irrelevant, some kind of embarrassing, pale imitation of some kind of clear channel station. And I became excited about KPFT when Amy Goodman came to town recently, and I was going to sign up to volunteer to work on the news team because I'm retired now and I can do things like that. And then all of a sudden Democracy Now! Disappeared from 7 o'clock in the morning, and I started getting interested and I started coming to meetings. And basically all I want is live news. Democracy Now! At 7 a.m. and Flashpoints at 7 p.m. And I'd also like to have Time of Useful Consciousness at a, you know, more better time. But I've been horrified by what I've seen since coming there. The board, the LSB meetings are not like board meetings. They're like junior high school cliques or something, where if you watch the body language, you can see, okay, this one big group of people is absolutely not willing to listen to this other slightly smaller group of people. And if you listen to it on the radio, you hear the snide, or on the internet, you hear the snide remarks that are being made under people's breath. It's disgraceful. Okay, I'll stop.
Thank you, Burnett, and thank all of you for participating in public comment. Yes,
may I ask the people who are putting comments into public comment, into the record, to give me a copy, and to I'll give you my email address for you to write it up so that I can go ahead and put it in the public, put it on the record. Okay? Because if not, you know, you got all this stuff.
You're not going to retype it?
No.
Okay. None of my
What kind of secretary? I'm blessed to have my comments on the record. I've got to do that.
Second.
Second.
Okay. Let me have the names. Because so far, only comments I have is Yolanda Birdwell and Ted Weisel.
And Scotty.
You guys could tell her afterwards.
Yeah, you
right?
can tell
her.
Right.
Jane
Jackson. Okay. Great. Thank you.
Okay, thank you all.